The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th and 10th chapters.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These were the names of the 12 apostles: first, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector; James, son of Alphaeus; and Thaddeus; Simon the Cananean; and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You receive without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy, and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly, I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. See, I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next, for truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." The Gospel of the Lord. In my line of work, people ask me a lot of questions, which I guess is why I went to seminary for 4 years, so that they could teach me the answers to the questions that I'm going to be asked. Problem is, in my 20 years of ministry, I've learned that a lot of the questions that I'm asked are not the questions that I was taught the answers to. In my first church, it was, "Are you gaining weight?" And then there was, "How does our church grow?" It was a small church, and that was one they did cover in seminary, sort of, but one of the things that I found out is it's not really a one-size-fits-all answer. And then I moved on to my second church, and again the question was, "How much weight have you gained?" And then it was, because I was the associate, "Have you seen the senior pastor? I need to ask him a question." Then there was my third church. "How much weight are you going to gain?" And then I commuted for 5.5 years, 45 minutes. It was, "When are you going to move here?" And then the third question that I asked most of all was, "Can you help me with my cell phone?" Now, Pisgah's been a little bit different because, well, first of all, you've taught me how to make a church grow. And, well, I am the senior pastor, and so usually I can't send people to somebody else. And, well, Damian Williams takes care of all of our cell phone and electrical needs. But there are some questions that keep getting asked. At first, it was, when are we going to finish the upstairs? For those of you who don't know, about 13 years ago, an addition was put onto the church, and the upstairs was left unfinished. Then it was, what are we going to do with the 22 acres behind us that we recently purchased? Then the questions were, what are they doing back there on the 22 acres? And when are they going to finish the upstairs? But none of those questions matter anymore. Because now the one that I get every time I run into any church member anywhere or talk to one on the phone is, when are we going to reopen? I'm guessing that's the question that just about every pastor in the United States has been dealing with. Some of them are still dealing with it. Some of them have already answered the question, when is a church going to reopen? I can't tell you how many meetings I've been through about that very topic. I've been to synod meetings and conference meetings and groups of pastors that just get together on Zoom and text message. I've sat through webinars, council meetings, and then our own task force to reopen Pisgah, all with the same question, when are you going to reopen? You know, it's been a while, and every church has had a different answer to that question. I mean, I was thinking about it when I was getting this sermon ready. Our first time going full live stream was on March the 22nd. And then, a few weeks later, on April the 6th, our governor issued a work or home order. And so everyone was quarantined for the next couple weeks. So, since then, life has started to come back to normal. Somewhat. I mean, yeah, you might have people wearing masks, well, sometimes, and people are sanitizing their hands a lot more, and, you know, we're more spread out when we go places. But, you know, most things are back open. Stores are back open, and the restaurants, we can eat there again. We can get a haircut and get our nails done. And just this week, they reopened bowling alleys. I don't know why bowling alleys were last, but now they're going to be reopened. And so most everything has gone back to normal, right? So we come back to the original question. When is Pisgah going to reopen? Well, the simple answer to that is this. When we have 14 days of decline in the zip codes of 29070, 29072, 29073, and 29054, which are the zip codes that we service, then we will come back to church. But folks, it ain't looking real good right now. Because on March the 22nd, when we had our first online service, there were 195 cases of COVID-19 in South Carolina. When we went to our lockdown on April the 6th, there were 2,232 cases in South Carolina. This past week, from June the 7th to June 13th, however, we had an additional 3,720 new cases just this week. The numbers are going way the wrong direction. They're skyrocketing right now. And so we're still left with the question, when are we going to reopen? Because we're struggling with the fact that the numbers are going up. And let's be honest, the church needs to be open right now because, good gracious, the world needs it, doesn't it? So what are we going to do? When are we going to open? Well, the reason I'm talking about this morning is because in our gospel reading, I think that the message that we hear probably is more meaningful right now than maybe it has been in our entire lives. It starts out with Jesus going around towns of Galilee, and it says that he's curing every disease and every sickness and casting out demons and teaching. And then he looks at the crowds and he has compassion on them because they're helpless and they're like sheep without a shepherd. And then he says to his disciples, pray to the Lord of the harvest Because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray that there will be more laborers to go out into the harvest. And so the very next part, when we move into chapter 10, what we hear is Jesus sending people out, sending the disciples out away from himself to go out and cure and teach and heal. And then he gives them a whole list of directions. He says, you know, don't take much with you. Don't take two tunics or sandals or you know, don't take any extra food and, you know, don't bring a staff. And what he's saying there is, look, you don't need all that stuff. Just trust in God. You're going to be okay. And he says, it's not going to be easy. Some of the places you go, well, they're going to receive you. And some of those places, they're going to reject you. It's going to be like, you're going to be like lambs in the midst of wolves sometimes. And it's going to be difficult, but I will be with you. I will give you the right words. I will take care of you. He sends them out away. And so what we hear is the very first example of the churchy word that we call evangelism. Now let's be honest. Now to us Lutherans, the word evangelism is kind of scary, right? Oh gracious, does that mean I got to go knock on doors? Nothing is scarier for a Lutheran than having to go knock on somebody's doors. And I know exactly what you're talking about. I remember one time some of my church members asked me to come over to visit them after church on a Sunday afternoon. And so I went over there, but I was new to town, and I went to the wrong house. And I knocked on the door, and, you know, I was wearing a clerical collar and looking all preacherly. You know, I was pretty young back then, and I could see it through the window that the television was on. And I could see shadows of the people inside. And then I heard a voice, "Daddy, there's a preacher at the door." But nobody came to the door. I waited, but no one came. And I got to be honest, I was a little glad that nobody came to the door, because what would I say? Wrong house, which it was the wrong house. But I think that's our biggest fear of all, is having to go and tell people about our faith, isn't it? And so lately we've had it easy, right? Because nowadays all we got to do is say, well, why don't you come to church with me? And so we have an actual place where we can take people. So if they're going to learn about Jesus, well, that y'all let me do it. Right? That's what I get paid to do. I'll tell them for you. And all you got to say is, hey, come with me. But now it's different, right? Where can we send people? What are we the ones that are going to have to spread the good news ourselves? I mean, we need a church. Because people need a message, don't they? I mean, good gracious, the stuff that's going on in the world right now. I mean, first off, we have this COVID-19 thing that we're all dealing with, and we're scared, and we're sick, and people are dying from it. And then you have the racial division that just seems to get worse with every passing day. And to top it all off, it's an election year, and that's always such a pleasure, isn't it? Because everybody's always on the same page. No, we can't even talk to our friends and family anymore without getting into an argument. We need church. So what are we going to do? When are we going to reopen? Well, my friends, I think this is where that passage is so powerful and so humbling. Because as Jesus looks out at the crowds, he realizes there's more of them than there are of him. And so he calls others to go out. Right now, you and I are being sent out. You see, first of all, you need to know that the church never closed. Worship has always been happening. Prayers never ceased. And ministry never stopped. The church never closed. Now, the buildings might have, but here's the second thing you need to know. The church, it ain't a building. The church is you and me. So wherever you are, that's where the church is. Right now, the church is wherever you're watching this video. The church may be in your home. The church may be in your car. And if it's in your car, you probably ought to, you know, watch the road. It may be in your office, but wherever you are, that's where the church is. You know, several years ago, we talked about it. We even had t-shirts made. I am Pisgah. And that's exactly right, because I am the church. You are the church. I am Pisgah. You are Pisgah. Wherever you are, that's where Pisgah is. And so now more than ever, we need to be that church. Not in this place, but out there. Earlier this week, I saw the coolest thing on Facebook that Deacon Deborah's doing. It's Take Out Church. And there's a whole bunch of stuff in here that you can bring with you on road trips and at home that you can do to talk about God and ways to pray together and discussion starters and little games that you can play. But it's even more than that, folks. Wherever you are, that's where the church is. Be the church. The only question is, what kind of church are you being right now? Is the church that you are the one that you would want to go to? Is it one that you'd want to invite other people to? That's a great question, isn't it? Because as I scroll through my Facebook feed, I see a lot of things and wonder, I bet that person wouldn't be real happy if their church put up that same passage. I bet their church wouldn't put up that same picture or that same meme. When I hear people talk, those aren't the kinds of preachy words that you want to hear, is it? So you got to ask yourself, what is it that I'm putting out there? What kind of church am I? What am I doing to show Christ to other people? That means, my friends, that you have to think about others before you think about yourself. You got to think about what message they need to hear rather than the one that you think that you need to give. It's not about winning or being right. It's about being faithful, being humble, and being obedient to the will of God. You and I are called to represent and represent Christ to the world. That's what it means to be the church. It means that we are the ones being sent out. We are the ones showing God to the world. It means sharing our gifts to show God's love whenever, wherever, and however we are. Dear friends, you are the church. Be the church that you're called to be. Share the good news of Jesus Christ with the way you live your life. Share the good news of Jesus Christ with the words that you say. Share the good news of Jesus Christ with the way that you treat other people. Be the church. Be the church that calls people to Jesus Christ. Because I can tell you, my friends, that's the church that never has and never will close. Amen.